Welcome once again to another edition of American Exposé here on First Amendment on the 6th of October, is it? Apparently so. Oh boy. So these scenarios keep playing at us. Bomb scare at the subways in New York received much publicity recently, within the last few hours, maybe even right now, they're giving it publicity. The bird flu pandemic being promoted in this day and time, listeners, with modern science the way it is, with clean living the way it can be, and then they promote these directions. It doesn't make any sense. Common sense tells you we're in a Hegelian setup scenario living today. It's just the way it is. For the common good, bringing local and global solutions together. Common good, listeners. An interfaith perspective on globalization for the common good. In 2006, Hawaii Conference is going to happen. It's an interfaith perspective on globalization for the common good. Common good, listeners. What is the common good, and what is the global commons, and isn't this all about loss of individuality, individual thought, individualism, pride in ownership of property, pride in ownership of a craft or an ability to produce? This 2006 conference will be held on June 21st through the 25th. Globalization for the Common Good, East Asia and Pacific Island Communities, the quest for identity, justice, and peace. It moves very subtly and very insidiously, this UN system that's been developed for the last 60 years officially. 60th anniversary of the UN system, the 24th of October. So according to who? Conveners, Dr. Cameron Mofed, founder and convener, and Dr. David L. Coleman, Dean of Humanities and Fine Arts Chaminade University. It is with great pleasure that we inform you of the 5th Annual International Conference on the Interfaith Perspective on Globalization for the Common Good, the East Asia Pacific Island Community's Quest for Identity, Justice, and Peace. The conference will take place at, once again, Chaminade University in Honolulu, and once again from the 21st through the 25th of next year. The university is nestled in the hills with breathtaking views overlooking Honolulu and the Pacific Ocean. Participants will be housed on campus in newly refurbished apartment-style accommodations. Apartments, listeners, apartments. Keep that in mind. Everyone has a right to an apartment, according to Laura Bush. The 5th Annual Conference on Globalization for the Common Good addresses a world quest for international understanding, dialogue, justice, and peace in Asia and the Pacific. A large number of speakers and delegates from around the globe will contribute to the mission of the conference in a unique way. Boy, whenever you hear unique, that is going to take away more freedom. You see, the devastation caused by wars and weather wars and environmental wars have devastated the world to the point where we have more poor than any time in history, more refugees than any time in history. In the decade of the Pacific, the world's attention is focused on the emerging face of globalization in Asia and the Pacific. Their unique perspective in this place is a bridge for cultural understanding through which they can look at economic, political, military, environmental, and religious institutions as they interact in Pacific region. They go on to state that their experiences are molded in the bold heritage of the seafaring peoples of the Pacific and their experience of autonomy and global and colonization of communities imbued with beauty of song, chants, natural beauty unparalleled in the world, and frustration and suffering brought by war and economic exploitation rippling across the Pacific in confrontations between the East and West in war for economic supremacy. In the past half a century, the peoples of the Pacific have asserted their cultural identities, contesting for the respect and attention to their needs and their unique gifts. And listeners, it goes on and on and on. They want papers, pre-organized panels, and roundtable submissions are invited from observers, commentators, academics, and NGOs to address the issues related to globalization within the identified theme of the conference. And keep in mind, what is going to happen between now and June, well, the end of June, the 20th through the 25th of June, what is going to be happening between now and then, listeners? They had a program conference on April 18th. Of this year as well. We move to different directions in our country, but it all has to do with control, command and control structure, and unique ways of getting us out of our homes today. And that is quite frightening when you get down to it, when you connect dots. I'm going to try and find something here. As someone has corresponded with me, very, very remarkable thought. Here she says, "This is to urge all talk show hosts to begin immediately discussing a major loophole in individual preparedness plans, which made itself known tragically in the New Orleans disaster. Let's say a person or family has followed all the suggestions from the great sponsors of the shows and is prepared for any disaster short of a nuclear threat hit on his home. The question that sorely needs answering is, and here it is, people, what should the individual's response be when the government in power knocks on the door and wants to forcibly drag you off to some relocation center for our own safety. Once again, what should the individual's response be when the government in power knocks on the door and wants to forcibly drag you off to some relocation center for your safety? Is there any realization that that's not going to happen on the horizon for any of us? You doubt that's not on the horizon or the sunset to come into place? These are very, very serious times. We're being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis, those that pay attention. Those that turn it off are not up to speed on what's being delivered at them. That's a perfect way to disarm the population to, well, listen to this one. Is there anything that a person or family can do in advance to avoid this local loss of all preparedness materials? Physically, legally, can a court injunction or act of Congress be implemented now to give everyone the right to refuse to leave home regardless of the authorities' estimate of the danger? It's a very, very vital question. And when they come at your door with guns drawn, it doesn't look like you're going to have any legal way to get out of it, does it? Is there anything that a person or family can do in advance to avoid this total loss of all preparedness materials physically, legally? Can a court injunction or act of Congress be implemented now to give everyone the right to refuse to leave home regardless of the authorities' estimate of the danger? And once again, what better way to disarm the population? And this individual seems to think, and I don't blame that individual, needs to be topic one on talk shows. Vital. Absolutely, totally vital information. Here I see, listeners, SCAP, virtual conference, Local Agenda 21 in China, integrating participants, integrating local and national Agenda 21 visions. Not all countries in the region have established Agenda 21 visions for the future. We're talking about communist China, listeners, and those that have, not many of them are fully integrated with local government or the private sector. China made a dedicated effort to assure that all segments of its society shared a common integrated vision. The government of China, along with the UNDP, have assessed or assisted local governments in establishing their own local Agenda 21s through various training programs. For example, the capacity building for local Agenda 21 in China program. A series of efforts have been made to carry out sustainable development strategies by the local authorities, and remarkable progress has been achieved. Up until now, 25 of 31 provinces, autonomous regions, and municipalities have organized their respective leading groups and established working offices for implementing their local Agenda 21. You have local Agenda 21 of Xi'an, the most populous province in China, Xi'an, and Zhangjiajie. You know, the action plan for implementing China's Agenda 21 in Gaozhou, challenge against poverty. It's the poorest province in the country. In the meantime, I see here the September issue of Foreign Affairs, the flagship journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, devotes a special section to examining China's economic and strategic posture. The overview offers Asian perspectives on China from five authors. Two from mainland China, which is communist China, listeners. Two from Hong Kong, which is now called a special administrative region under Beijing's control. And one from Singapore. And significantly and predictably, no contribution was solicited from a representative of the Free Chinese on Taiwan. The Free Chinese people are on Taiwan. It used to be Formosa. The amazing part of this is that Taiwan's not a member of the UN, but Taiwan has Agenda 21. Go figure. Lead author Xing Bijan is the chair of the China Reform Forum. That's the China Reform Forum, described as a non-governmental and non-profit academic organization. The group's claim to independence is tainted by the fact that Xing, according to his bio, wrote key reports for five Chinese Nationalist Communist Party congresses and held senior posts in party organizations in China. For the next few decades, writes Xing, quote, the Chinese nation will be preoccupied with securing a more comfortable and decent life for its people, end quote. Welcome as that prospect would be, the Chinese Communist Party, like communist ruling elites throughout history, has never been unduly concerned with the comforts and decencies enjoyed by its population. Quote, China has blazed a new strategic path that suits its national conditions while conforming to the tides of history, end quote. Continues Zhang, offering a splendid example of boilerplate Marxist rhetoric. The tides of history, according to Marx and his disciples, led in the direction of world socialism. Beginning in the late 1970s under Deng Xiaoping, the CCP has described its ruling ideology as socialism with Chinese characteristics. In practice, this means allowing Western or primarily U.S. corporate leaders, backstopped by tax subsidies, to build China's manufacturing sector while leaving the party firmly in control of the military and the nation's political system. Rather than a Soviet-style five-year plan, the Chinese regime, quote, has set up targets for development for the next 50 years. Inspired by a vision Xing calls, quote, the development path to peaceful rise, end quote. Quote, China will continue to advance until it becomes a prosperous, democratic, and civilized socialist country, end quote, he predicts. And keep in mind, as long as China remains under the rule of Mao's heirs, it will remain socialist, but never free nor truly civilized, and peaceful only when it suits the interests of its ruling party. So we see here, once again, local Agenda 21 in China, and not all the regions, or put this way, not all the countries in the region have established Agenda 21 vision for the future, just like our country. And of those that have, not many of them are fully integrated with local government or the private sector. There you go, public-private partnerships. China made a dedicated effort to assure that all segments of its society shared a common integrated vision. The government of China, along with the UNDP, have assisted local governments in establishing their own Agenda 21s through various training programs. And China is a vast land, and there is a great disparity between the different parts of the country in natural conditions, economic base, and social development. They go on to state, in view of this, it is essential for China to formulate and implement local varied action plans for sustainable development, which are suited to the local situations and conditions. A series of efforts, they say, have been made to carry out sustainable development strategies by the local authorities, and remarkable progress has been achieved. Up until now, 25 of 31 provinces, autonomous regions, and municipalities have organized their respective leading groups and established working offices for implementing their local Agenda 21. All provinces and municipalities have incorporated the sustainable concept into their local plans for economic and social development and regional development. In accord with the local conditions, many local governments have selected and implemented pilot projects that are relevant to local sustainable development, such as the project of employment as a means of poverty alleviation in Gaozhou province, the project of non-hazardous treatment of garbage in Sichuan province, the business council to facilitate business participation in sustainable development in Shanghai, and the improvement of hygiene and health care in community in Beijing. At present, with the support of the UNDP, China has started a project entitled Capacity Building for Local Agenda 21 in China, which has had participation by 8 provinces and 8 municipalities in China. This is a monster that we live today, a major deal that goes on a daily basis throughout the world. Without your spreading your knowledge about what you learn, I don't see where we have a chance. I just don't see how we have a chance of making a difference in this day and time. I was talking last night regarding this situation with Ethiopia and Eritrea, and apparently this is where I'm going to get it done. It is a setup scenario that we're living today. As I said before, there are white vehicles, there are white tanks, there are white helicopters with UN on the side. Will it come to America? Not as long as we're armed. It will come to America with their own country's uniforms, like it has now. We have not heard word one about the Mexican military in America since Hurricane Katrina. We have not heard word one about that. Sent troops to America. We have not heard word one about that I know of. So Eritrea told the United Nations on Tuesday it could no longer fly helicopters over its territory to resupply peacekeepers stationed there after a disastrous border war with Ethiopia. In response, the UN Security Council at a hastily called meeting with said Eritrea should, quote, immediately reverse its decision, end quote, because the safety of the peacekeepers could be imperiled. There are several helicopter access routes the main supply route avenue for the 3,000 peacekeepers organized in UNMEE, the UN mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea. Helicopters are used, they say, for aerial reconnaissance and medical evacuations. Now, this is all under the guise of Blueprint for the Peace Race. If they're using the helicopters for aerial reconnaissance, that's part of the observer mission of the United Nations. However, where are the sides being funded? Who's funding the sides to fight against each other? They say the flight ban would very gravely impede their capacity to do their job in the peacekeeping mission. And this is according to Jean-Marie Guerino, UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping. Quote, it would also be a problem for the safety of our staff. Sometimes there are just no roads, end quote. After this was a prelude to more conflict, after a two-year border war between Ethiopia and Eritrea, he said, it's not a good situation. Quote, if we are not able to move around effectively with our helicopters, we will have much less visibility on what is going on the ground, which can in turn create suspicions and create more instability, end quote. Is that right? Eritrea wants to put the new order in place on Wednesday afternoon, which was yesterday. The flight ban, however, does not cover fixed-wing UN aircraft flying between the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa and the Eritrean capital of Samarra. Eritrea has insisted that such flights be routed through a third country. U.S. Ambassador John Bolton said the Security Council had to find a way to enforce its decisions and not keep peacekeepers on the ground forever. In this case, both nations needed to accept a UN demarcated border. Quote, we need to use this as a pilot point to find a way to resolve the boundary dispute and more on rather have a indefinite peacekeeping force, he told Reuters. Bolton. There's no fixing the UN system. There's no reforming the UN system. The only way to end this mess is to out of the UN system. And how are we going to stop that at this point in time? Quote, according to Bolton, this is something that has dragged on for 2 years after the findings of the Boundary Commission, end quote. Under a December 2000 peace deal ending the border war that killed more than 70,000 people, Ethiopia and Eritrea agreed to accept the conclusions of an independent panel on where their border should lie. The whole point about all this is population reduction, control of populations, maneuvering of populations, but eliminating millions of people, listeners. That's what we live today. That's what we live today.
Expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Notice, FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones, Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation deserves to hear. Send us a sample or email a bio for a live tryout. The nation is waiting to hear a new voice. It may be yours. We'll let the audience decide. Email us today, talent@firstamendmentradio.com. talent@firstamendmentradio.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, people. Here we see the U.N. Security Council expressed grave concern at Eritrea's decision to restrict U.N. helicopter flights over its territory, a move with serious implications for the U.N. mission there. The council called on the quote, government of Eritrea to immediately reverse its decision and to provide UNMEE with the access, assistance, support, and protection required for the performance of its duties, end quote. It stressed the need for to implement the decision of the Eritrea-Ethiopia Boundary Commission, quote, without further delay, which will enable UNMEE to fulfill its mandate, end quote. Mandates, listeners, quote. We are quite pleased at the very, very swift reaction of the Security Council, in quote, said the senior UN official in charge of the peacekeeping operations, Jean-Marie Gueno. Quote, it was very important for the Council to uphold what is a fundamental principle of peacekeeping and a condition for our effective operations, freedom of movement, end quote, added Gueno, the Undersecretary General for UN Peacekeeping Operations. Ethiopia and Eritrea signed a peace agreement in Algiers in 2000, as I already covered. The Security Council on Tuesday also reaffirmed that both parties bore the primary responsibility for implementing the Algiers Accord and the decision of the Boundary Commission. They always have to come together and enforce UN mandates in border disputes. We have the same problem in our country right now. On August 12th, New Mexico's Democratic Governor Richard Sun described the situation on his state's border with Mexico as chaotic, and he declared a state of emergency. And 3 days later, Arizona's Democratic Governor Janet Napolitano did likewise. Both declarations prompted outrage from the Mexican government. Mexico's theoretical indignation notwithstanding, other governors, including California Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger, indicated they might emulate the example of Richardson and Napolitano. And according to the August 24th Washington Times, state legislators in Virginia, a state well removed from the U.S. Mexican border, have urged Democratic Governor Mark Warner to issue a similar emergency decree. During the same week, USA Today ran a front-page story describing the border crisis. Now, we have our border crisis here. Ethiopia and Eritrea have their border crisis there. The August 17th story cited poll data indicating that nearly half of Mexico's population, quote, would move to the USA if they could. And one in five say they would do so illegally if necessary, end quote. 2 days later, the paper's front page reported that an unprecedented number of illegal aliens have died, generally from thirst or exposure to the elements, during 2005. On the same day, August 19th, that admittedly heart-rending story appeared. The Border Patrol and Department of Homeland Security announced two Spanish language advertising campaigns, quote, to try to stop immigrants from attempting clandestine border crossings and trying to sneak children into the country in car trunks, engines, and even gasoline tanks. Wow. End quote. The wow was my intrusion into that quote. In the words of the AP account, airtime for those ads was purchased in television markets on both sides of the U.S.-Mexican border. After years or decades of neglect, it would appear the establishment is finally stealing itself to address the immigration crisis. All of this activity served as a prelude to Homeland Security Commissioner Michael Chertoff's announcement of a comprehensive reform of immigration policy, the centerpiece of which would be the Bush administration's proposed amnesty for illegal aliens. The results of a review of immigration policy, reported the AP, quote, would be considered as part of a broad border security strategy that Chertoff has said will include a temporary worker program, end quote. Chertoff told reporters in an informal meeting on August 23rd, quote, the American public is rightly distressed about a situation in which they feel we do not have the proper control over our borders, end quote. With Congress's help, he continued, the administration could adopt, quote, a policy that encourages legalized and regularized immigration, end quote, building with adoption of a, quote, temporary guest worker program, end quote, which, as outlined by the Bush administration and its congressional allies, amounts to another amnesty for illegal immigrants. Amnesty, in turn, is merely another step in the path toward building a borderless European Union-style magistrate in the Western Hemisphere via the proposed free trade area of the Americas. It's already done in NAFTA, people. Border Region 21, Border 21, Border 2012. So we're setting ourselves up, not we as a people. We as a people, like the people of communist China, don't want to be suppressed. We're being suppressed. We've been invaded by an environmental weather machine. then you have no way of blaming anyone but God for the weather. Unless weather modification is researched and reported on and exposed. So now we go to, and all this interconnects when you connect the dots. Our border problem, Eritrea, Ethiopia. But the ultimate end goal is implementation of Agenda 21. So according to the International Coalition for Sustainable Production and Consumption, that's the ICSPC, the International Coalition for Sustainable Production and Consumption, Chapter 7 of China's Agenda 21 is titled Population, Consumption, and Social Services. The chapter deals squarely with the problem of overconsumption in the following terms. Now, quote, however, the rapid growth of population together with non-sustainable consumption has become a tremendous burden on the supply of limited energy and resources, end quote. Quote, the Chinese government plans to take necessary measures and actions to alter traditional irrational consumption practices and encourage more reasonable and sustainable consumption behavior. Special attention should be focused on consumption in poverty-stricken and backward areas. Chapter 7 divides the strategy relating to SPAC activities into goals and activities. Interestingly enough, the activities are divided into measures about production, which would be sustainable production, consumption, meaning green products with sustainable consumption, distribution, socially equitable consumption, and investment, taxes, green expenditure, and investment. Quote, China therefore needs to develop a national initiative on sustainable consumption and production through a circular economy. The framework and practical elements need to reflect Chinese characteristics and needs and should include a revision of existing policies and practices. China will thereby also contribute to an enrichment of emerging Asia-Pacific regional strategies, end quote. In China, environmental indicators are used to support the preparation and implementation of the country's five-year plans and monitor the implementation of pollution abatement and control programs. As most of our business and industry is over there, or industry anyway, and business, in China, indicators used to communicate environmental information to the public include state of the environment reports at the national, regional, and municipal level containing indicators covering a range of environmental issues. This sounds just like our country, listeners. That's my point. In China, several government ministries have taken environmental measures as well as set environmental targets and are using indicators to measure progress. The Chinese government is working in the criteria and indexes of a green GDP, gross domestic product, which deducts the cost of environmental damage and resources consumption from the traditional gross domestic product, and the new set of criteria is expected to be finished in 3 to 5 years. Under the title of Responsibility, Chapter 7 of the Chinese Agenda 21 states, quote, China will not follow the development model of industrialized countries, which have achieved high economic growth and lifestyles through high consumption at the increase of high use of natural resources and serious environmental pollution. China will develop in accordance with her own realities, end quote. As far as implementation, and here we go again, people. NGO initiative about sustainable consumption and local implementation. GVB's Green Communities Program states the problem thus. Quote, current consumption patterns are pushing industrialization to its maximum capacity and will ultimately cause unsustainable development for the next century. Educating people on sustainable consumption is a key to turning environmental protection into a popular lifestyle, end quote. The program is described thus, quote, GVB works for the establishment of green communities because the environmentally friendly lifestyle is difficult to stipulate by law, especially in China. By setting up models for others to follow, GVB hopes that the public participation mechanism will expand from community to community, end quote. Local Agenda 21 in China, by the end of 1996, two-thirds of the 30 provinces, autonomous regions, and municipalities had organized their respective leading groups and established working offices to implement their local Agenda 21. Some provinces have formulated their own local Agenda 21 and action plans, such as the Agenda 21 in Xuzhan, the most populous province in China, and the Agenda 21 of Shanxi, a coal-rich province. In the action plans for implementing China's Agenda 21 in Jiangsu, challenging poverty, the poorest province of the country. Some other provinces and municipalities have incorporated the sustainable concept into their local plans for economic and social development and regional development. Agenda 21 in Communist China, Agenda 21 in Communist Vietnam, Agenda 21 in democratized/communist America. Every country has Agenda 21. It's just the way it is. Here we see dated August 5th. Advanced unedited version, revised draft outcome document of the high-level plenary meeting of the General Assembly of September 2005 submitted by the President of the General Assembly. This is a 39-page document. We, the heads of state and government, have gathered at the United Nations headquarters in New York from 14 to 16 September 2005. We recognize the valuable role of all major United Nations conferences and summits in the economic, social, and related fields, including the Millennium Summit, in mobilizing the international community at the local, national, regional, or global levels, and in guiding the work of the United Nations, We reaffirm their outcomes and renew our commitment to fully implement them in an integrated and coordinated manner. We recall the United Nations Millennium Declaration we adopted at the dawn of the 21st century and reaffirm our faith in the organization and our commitment to the principles and purposes of the United Nations Charter. It's a mess. It's a boondoggle of a document where they deal with science and technology for development, HIV/AIDS and other health issues. HIV/AIDS, where did it come from, people? They say, we recognize that we are facing a whole range of threats that require our urgent, collective, and more determined response. We recognize that in accordance with the United Nations Charter, addressing these threats requires a comprehensive approach and coordination among all principal organs of the United Nations within their respective mandates. They have Pacific settlement disputes. Use of force under the UN Charter. We reiterate our obligation to refrain from the threat or use of force in any manner inconsistent with the principles of the United Nations Charter. We reaffirm that one of the principles and purposes guiding the United Nations is to maintain international peace and security, and to that end to take effective collective measures for the prevention and removal of threats to the peace and for the suppression of acts of aggression or other breaches of the peace, and to bring about any peaceful means, and in conformity with the principles of justice and international law, adjustment or settlement of international disputes or situations which might lead to a breach of the peace. We also reaffirm that the provisions of the Charter of the United Nations regarding the use of force are sufficient to address the full range of security threats, and agree that the use of force should be considered as an instrument of last resort. We further reaffirm the authority of the Security Council to take action to maintain and restore international peace and security in accordance with the provisions of the Charter. In other words, they will resort to whatever it takes to get whatever they want done under the guidance and principles of the UN Charter, which is implementing Agenda 21 today. Now let's go to this. Country report. Implementing Rio Declaration and Agenda 21 in China since 1992. This paper provides an overview of the implementation of the Rio Declaration and Agenda 21 by China since 1992. The overview finds that China has made great efforts to implement those documents and to pursue the way of sustainable development. The current Chinese law, policy, strategic development plan, and institution indicate that China is trying moving toward the direction of sustainable development and has made considerable progress. However, difficulties and challenges to the switch of pattern of economic growth are also serious. Therefore, greater efforts and firm measures need to be taken. And there's a report here is divided into two parts. Part one is an overview of the implementation of the Rio Declaration in China, including an overview on the relevant policies, laws, and institutions, as well as problems and possible solutions. And then part two focuses on the implementation of the Rio principles. And there's many of them here. 2, 3, 10, 11, 13, 15, 16, it goes on. Up to 26 respectively. For the convenience of description, the structure of part two is arranged according to the order of the relevance to the Rio principles, and certainly we're not going to get anywhere near to connect the dots to this with what's remaining of the time. Most vital to concept all these directions to where we are today. The adoption of 10 important measures. Well, China is actively engaged in implementing the Rio Accords, and the major developments and progress made since 92 are this. The adoption of the 10 important measures on environment and development by the Chinese government, for which the first time officially adopted the concepts of sustainable development and the strategy of sustainable development in August 92. Keep in mind, we have an educational system that is indoctrinating our children to Agenda 21 patterns, to aptituding them to their future job. I can't imagine what the educational system was like in China. I can't imagine that our educational system and China's educational system is the same. But you have to be very, very special to be educated in China as a young person. Not everyone in China is educated. There's a big difference. I go back to this advanced edited or unedited version of these values and principles from the UN system dated September 2005. And they say that we recognize that progress in disarmament and nonproliferation is essential to strengthening international peace and security, and appeal to all states to pursue and intensify negotiations with a view to advancing disarmament and strengthening the international nonproliferation regime. We also recognize that noncompliance with existing arms control, nonproliferation, and disarmament agreements and commitments may also threaten international peace and security of all nations and increase the possibility of terrorist acquisition of weapons of mass destruction. We urge all states to accede to the Treaty on the Nonproliferation of Nuclear Weapons, the Chemical Weapons Convention, Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, and pledge to comply fully with all parties and articles to this instrument. They reiterate their firm commitment to the NPT and its three pillars: disarmament, nonproliferation, and the peaceful use of nuclear energy. Only we won't get the nuclear power plants. Other countries get the nuclear power plants. And they resolve to appeal to all states to take action in a multilateral framework to prevent the nonproliferation of weapons of mass destruction and their means of delivery in all its aspects. Also appeal to the nuclear weapons states to take concrete steps toward nuclear disarmament with the objective of eliminating all such weapons, including through the implementation of Article 6 of the Nonproliferation Treaty. Well, we'll disarm. Will we? But Communist China won't. Soviet Russia won't. And I still use the word Soviet. Even though the people of Russia recognize it's different and it's better. Their standards are rising. Our standards are lowering. Maybe not to the degree that it's noticeable yet. But keep in mind, we live in a debt note society. We were born into a setup scenario that we live today. This UN document is very concerned about terrorism. And how do you define terrorism in this day and time? The war on terrorism will be going on for the rest of our lives, I can guarantee it, unless we can make a change, unless those on the inside can make a change. When they talk about peacekeeping in this document, recognizing that peacekeeping plays a vital role in helping parties to conflict end hostilities and commending the contribution of UN peacekeepers and other personnel in that regard, noting improvements made in recent years to the United Nations peacekeeping, this should be on the website, and it ain't going to be there, buddies. That's the end of the broadcast tonight. Research. Do your best. Try to work together. And good night.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on